This is Sophia Ferber, finance reporter at Estates Gazette. I'm joined by David Tuckett. He's a professor at UCL in economics and sociology, and he's author of the book Minding the Markets. Now, he's been talking to us at the IPD and IPF conference this morning in Brighton about emotional finance. Now, this is a particularly interesting juxtaposition, David, because as you and everyone else in the property world knows, the IPD and IPF conference is where the data nerds of the property world get together to talk about numbers. So it was interesting to have you talking about emotions in property. So, could you tell us a little bit more about what this term emotional finance means?
Okay, well, emotional finance is something that we distinguish from behavioural finance. Not that behavioural finance isn't perfectly interesting, but it has to do essentially with the fact that human beings have evolved not just cognitive capacities but also emotional capacities, and that emotions, as I think we all know if we think of our own personal lives, are very important. And it isn't the case that emotions are lead to bad decision making. Of course they can, but so can lots of other things. In fact, human beings are evolved so that emotions can lead to good decisions, and modern neuroscience suggests that feeling and thinking go very closely together. So emotional finance essentially looks at financial other decision making, particularly in situations of uncertainty, that is recognizing that most of the important decisions that are made in life, you don't actually know what the correct thing to decide is. There may be some very stupid things you shouldn't decide, but on the whole, it's very difficult to know which of several ways of thinking and making decisions should work.
Now, one thing that you discussed this morning that I found fascinating was this idea that humans are real storytelling animals, and we're surrounded by uncertainty. I mean, I think this will definitely ring true for a lot of people in the property world now. Yeah. We're in very uncertain, quite anxious times. So how do you go forward and make a decision? Well, you are suggesting that one way that humans as economic beings do this is to create a narrative and to create a story about what it is they're actually going to invest in. Could you explain for our listeners what that means?
Yeah, well, given that you can't make a decision simply on the facts, I mean, I'm not against the facts, let's just be clear there. We need all the facts we can get, all the quantitative data we can get. But that ultimately has to be put into a narrative of how you think the future is going to unfold. And for that, you basically tell a story. You imagine the future in a story about the future. Narratives are fundamental human capacities, so that, for example, the development of language in children is very linked to the development of the capacity to tell stories. And if you don't know if you have young children or if you know young children, but it's all about stories and everything, and that's the learning to tell a story is very early on. You know, and when we say stories, it doesn't mean a long, complicated thing necessarily. It just means putting things in order and making sense of them. And stories go with the capacity to simulate, which is a very much a capacity in the brain, to simulate the future. So you live it. You live it without having, you know, you live it in your imagination. So it's not just it's not just an abstract idea. You actually get the feeling of, if I did this and this happened, what would I feel?
Well, this is very interesting for property because, as you know, we've, and all our listeners will know, there are certain narratives that we have in the property world that especially at the moment, we've got these stories about, you know, secondary property, it's mispriced, London is too expensive, etc., etc. I mean, are these a good thing or a bad thing? Because the property market has had certain narratives in the past. You know, for example, in 2007, you know, the market can only go up. What happened? It obviously didn't. What's your take on this?
Well, what you're talking about there is not just narratives, but everybody coordinating around more or less the same narrative. I would see that as a response to uncertainty. What uncertainty produces is anxiety in people. It also produces opportunity, but it produces anxiety. So the difficulty is, if people manage this anxiety and the emotional conflict that uncertainty creates by all telling the same story, as opposed to there being different stories. And, you know, stories do a job. They make the most of what we know.
And We found that the we did a vote among the audience members to see whether they agreed or not at the beginning and the end of the session as to whether using emotions in decision making around the kind of properties that they would buy would be a good thing, or whether it would go and sink their businesses immediately or just paralyse their decision making. And we actually found that the audience was very sensitive to this idea of having emotions in property decision making. Did that surprise you from a property audience?
It didn't surprise me, although I think what I would have expected outside the context of the talk is that many asset managers of all kinds like to stress that they're not emotional, because what they've got in mind is people getting carried away with the emotions and then making wrong decisions.
Okay.
But I'd say that I would never give my money to invest to anyone who made the claim that they weren't emotional, because actually you need your emotions to make judgments, and the person who says they don't have any really is the person who says he doesn't know, or she doesn't know they have any. And that is a dangerous person.
That's absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much, David.
It's a pleasure.